When we talk about things like praying and giving tithes and offerings and going to church, you know what that is? That's the ABCs. That's elementary school. You know, if I have to rant and rave, or if a preacher gets up and gets angry or gets pumped, you know, about some issue that is in the ABCs, that's hard. Because we ought to be talking more about things like singing the songs of Zion in your day-to-day in your own heart. I woke up this morning and I was like, there was a song on my mind. And it was a song of conviction, but it was also a song of blessing to my heart, because I needed a song this morning for you. See, I come as a conduit, a channel. That's all I am. I could have nothing to say if I didn't have the book, and I have no standing if God didn't uphold me by the right hand of His power. He's the lifter of my head. And so when we get together, you know, I was grateful this morning that I woke up with a song. And it was my song. And God was speaking to me in the song. And you may never have a song, or you may not know any songs, and it's incumbent upon you to get to know some songs, because God wants to speak through songs. He wants to speak through His Word. He wants to get it in there in your crevices of your heart so that when the going gets tough, He can speak to you. You say, songs? Yes. The Bible says, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart of the Lord. You want a verse? There you have it. God wants to sing. And the Bible says that He will sing over you in the minor prophets. It says that He inhabits the praises of His people. And we need to get to a place where we have that kind of closeness. We can hear His voice. So close that I just hear Him. So close that a song means something. You know what God spoke to me in the song, Marching to Zion? It talks about, you know, we're marching upward to Zion. You know what that means? Sometimes it's hard. Isn't that true? Does God speak? Yes. He speaks all the time. He is there, and He is not silent. And He looks into the situations you look into. He sees everything you see. And the Bible tells us that we co-labor with Him. That He's our Father. He's our Shepherd. And the Shepherd is right on task, you know. He's right with us all the time. And they wanted to see Jesus. And when He turned and He saw them following, hopefully He would turn and see you following. When He saw them following, He said, "What seek ye?" Verse 38. And they said unto Him, "Rabbi," which is to say, being interpreted, "Master." And they were right away acknowledging that He was the teacher. He was the one that had something to say, not them. "Where dwellest thou?" I find that just a very odd thing to say on the front door. It just kind of hits me. But, well, what speak you? Well, we just were wondering, you know, if we could, go on. They didn't. Where are you dwelling? They didn't want to just follow. They wanted to be with Him. Where are you dwelling? The word is the same as abide when you talk about, you know, abide in me and I in you and, you know, and all that. And the Bible talks about it here. He said, where do you abide? Verse 39 said, He says, unto them, come and see. Now, I like that because that reminds me of my walk of faith. I don't always know what we're getting into next, you know. I don't always know what's around the corner. I don't know whether it's a hill or a dale. I don't know whether it's a valley or a mountain. I don't know whether it's a view of land and a place of rest or a place of unrest and heaviness for a season. But I know that He, wherever He takes me, He's going to be there. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear, for You are with me. Everything changes in those moments. And they wanted to be up close. They were up close to John so much they heard His whisper. They wanted to be up close to Jesus. And He said, okay, come on, come and see. And you know what He says to you? He says to you, come and see. He says to you, follow me, come and when we gather together on a Sunday morning, you know, the fervor and the intensity of your song, the firmness of your handshake and the light in your eyes, the smile on your face, the people you've never met before, people who are for the first time ever coming here. We say as we gather together, come and see, we're excited about Jesus, we're excited about God, we're excited about salvation, and the grip, the smile, the receiving of others, that demonstrates who we are. And we're excited when other people want to see Him. Man, just listen, because the Word's going to be good. Amen. The Word is always good. And the Bible says that these guys said, where are you? He said, come and see. And in verse 39 it says, they came and saw him where he dwelt and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. It was about 4 in the afternoon, whether it was early part of the year, later part of the year, we don't know. But if it was 4 and they went to sit down and go into their wherever they were going to live that day or stay that night, you know, Jesus had no home specifically. So what we have here is not only a place where he was welcome, but a place where he felt so welcome that others could come in too. I think that's pretty cool, and I think our lives ought to be that kind of life. Don't you? We ought to not only welcome Jesus, but we ought to welcome whoever he brings our way. And there are people who are in your way. For Awana, you could tell some kids they would come because you would tax them, the parents like you. Let me get your kids to Awana. There are people that you know and you could bring to church. Becky was sharing a testimony here on Wednesday night. She said, I was talking to a family member and saying, you know, and they said, yeah, do you think it'd be okay if I brought my other people in my world? Yeah. And she knew. Jesus takes not just me, he takes me as my friend. I remember when I was first converted as a teenage young man wanting to get my friends to get right with God too, because I knew they were on their way to hell. We all knew it. We joke about it. We'd come to a corner and stop at the stop sign. We'd say, which way? Right? Left? Straight? Never go straight, we would all say in order. You know, we knew we were renegades. And so what we would do is we would do that, and I knew they were going to end up lost if it wasn't for something. And so I tried to get them to come to church, and there we were, three long-haired hippie freaks sitting on the second row in the church, full of people who were probably almost all of them over 50. I could say over 80. But over 50. And they wouldn't appreciate that, but they're all dead now, so it doesn't matter. Not really. They're good people. But my three hippie freaks sitting there in a conservative Baptist Bible church, and man, we were just sitting there, and those guys were sitting there, and they were uncomfortable. You could be. And the preacher says, take out a piece of paper. We all took out a piece of paper. They needed something to do anyway, so that wasn't good. It wasn't like a conventional church. And he says, now I want you to write down these sins. And he started listing them, and we're like, whoa, dude, yeah, cool. He says, now I want you to put a star right beside each one you're guilty of. And they're like, ugh. And they started giggling, because they knew, man, it's us. Isn't that amazing? It's us. It's me, it's me, it's me, oh Lord, standing in need of prayer. And what I found was that I needed to be close enough to Jesus to figure out a way to get these people, they came, and you need to be close enough to where when you speak and say, will you come, that they like you. I'm talking to these kids over here about motorcycles and paintball. And they're listening to me. And God willing, one day, the young man who lives next door, he said he had to go to his church this week because his preacher was on his back. One kid standing there with a beer in his hand. I said, and you'll be straight enough tomorrow to make it. I said, you'll be clear tomorrow. Didn't make a big deal about it, just making sure he understood. I'm still the preacher in the room. And you don't necessarily have to do that. But for me, I needed to just in and out. I'm like, you know, it's cool. I'm not going to, you know, judge up. But you need to be in church. None of us get out alive. And you need to be credible. John was credible. John the Baptist. These guys followed Jesus. When they followed Jesus, we find that true disciples not only follow Jesus, but true disciples share their faith. They do. You know, it was Jeremiah who said, when I determined that I was going to keep silent. You know why he determined he was going to keep silent? He was so disgusted with the state of affairs in Israel. He was disgusted. Nobody was listening. Nobody cared. He said, what's the use? I'm not going to talk anymore about God. I'm not going to talk anymore about redemption. I'm not going to talk anymore about the sacrifice. They're not listening anyway. He said, but when I determined that I would keep silent, your word burned within my heart. Paul said, the love of Christ constrains us. You know, if you're truly his disciple, you're going to want to tell somebody, and I'm sorry. That's just one of the earmarks. The Bible says, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. Two marks. Ears, feet. Marks of a sheep. He says, follow me and I will make you what? Fishers of men. I don't want to fish. You know, all I can do is hold up the mirror this morning. Amen? That's all I can do. Each one of us has to ask, am I a disciple or am I not? You know, the Bible talks about sheep and goats. They look pretty much alike in a crowd. But it also talks about wheat and chaff, and that looks alike too. The only way you can tell is when you throw it up into the air and the wind drives away the white one, or the light one. You see, our hearts really have to be about Jesus, or this thing doesn't work. It's not any fun. It's a burden. It's a chore. Reading our Bibles is miserable. You know, going to church, man, well, okay. I'll get ready. The Bible talks about these guys wanting to be right up close with him, and they dwell with him that night. And when they stayed with him that night, I can imagine the conversation. What? How cool would that be? A night with Jesus. A night around the table, just talking and just listening. The Bible says in this very book, at the end of the book, he says, man, I'm sure that if everything was written that he did, the books of all the world couldn't contain him. You know, when he spoke, he was God, and he was holding it all together, and he was just doing it effortlessly. That just seems just so awesome. You know, I get amazed at people sometimes, don't you? Do you ever like to watch somebody do something they're really good at, whether it's a trade or a carpentry thing or whatever, and they're just doing magic. Some of you like to watch these shows on TV, these reality shows like Top Chef. Those people, they're like, wow, you know, they just throw this and that, and they've got nothing to work with, and they're just, and when it all comes out, you're like, what in the world? How did they get that? We like that stuff because it amazes us. And Jesus makes all that look like nothing because he was holding it all together, and he was dying. For both. And holding it all together. Mocked, ridiculed, reviled, hit with a whip, and the world didn't even tremor. The only time it tremored was when he was hanging on the cross. And there was an earthquake. And I'm not sure whether God the Father did that or whether Jesus did that, because dying was pretty huge for God. But there was an earthquake. Beloved, you and I have to be disciples who actually want to share your faith. If you're not a Pearson Jersey faith, then you're probably not a disciple. And I wanted to tell you, it's important. People are dying to know what you know. And the Bible tells us that you'll share your faith, and if you want to see witness of that, let your eye fall down to verse 40. It says, one of the two which heard John speak and followed John was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He was one of the two that now has been up close to Jesus. Well, it says he first findeth his own brother, Simon, and says unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted, the Christ. He goes to Simon, and he says, all I want you to know, Simon, is we found him. We found him. Remember that bumper sticker? There was a crusade years ago, and people had those bumper stickers. I found it. Well, that may be good and fine, and it may be, you know, kind of makes people wonder, but it doesn't answer the question. I can better say I found him. But you know, the fact of the matter is, we have found him. And when he went to Peter, he was telling him what he had personally found, personally. He had spent the evening with him. He heard John's testimony. And that was all they needed. It was a personal testimony. We found him. We found it. We found the answer. And that's personal.